From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Do you remember the old marketing slogan, "Nothing runs like a deer"? Well, what do you do when your John Deere implement does break down? If you are a mechanically savvy farmer, you might try to fix it yourself. But in the increasingly computerized world of heavy equipment and durable goods, you would likely run into a problem. That's because some of the tools needed to properly diagnose problems is proprietary and only available through authorized John Deere dealers. And even then, to make a repair, you might be required to use Deere-specific parts compared to a less expensive generic component. All this is what prompted the Federal Trade Commission and several states, including Illinois, to sue John Deere. The case alleges that Deere is limiting farmers and independent mechanics from being able to properly repair Deere-branded equipment, forcing farmers to rely heavily on Deere's network of dealers. And the FTC says this drives up repair costs for farmers and also limits crop yields. As often happens in these cases, Deere tried to have the lawsuit dismissed, but earlier this month, a federal judge in Rockford rejected the motion. Joining us now to talk about how we got to this point and what to expect from the trial is Ryan Hanrahan, news editor for Farm Policy News. Ryan, welcome to the 21st Show.
Good morning.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. Maybe you have struggled with some of these right-to-repair issues, especially if you are on a farm. Let us know how that's affected you. 800-222-9455. Before we get into the conversation, I should note we did invite John Deere to join us today. They directed our attention to a statement from January. I'm just going to read the first paragraph. It says, "This lawsuit filed on the eve of a change in administration." This is, again, when Biden was on his way out, Trump on his way in. They say this lawsuit ignores the company's longstanding commitment to customer self-repair and the consistent progress and innovation we have made over time, including the launch of Equipment Mobile in 2023 and the previously announced launch of new capabilities for John Deere Operations Center later this year. The complaint is based on flagrant misrepresentations of the facts and fatally flawed legal theories, and it punishes innovation and pro-competitive product design. John Deere will vigorously defend itself against this baseless lawsuit. It goes on for 3 pages in all, so we'll have a link to the rest of it on our website, 21stshow.org. We also reached out to the Illinois Farm Bureau. They declined to join, citing a memorandum the American Farm Bureau Federation, of which the IFB is a part, had signed with ag equipment manufacturers, including Deere. That agreement gives farmers access to error codes, specialty tools, and information on how to fix issues. All right. All that said, Ryan Hanrahan, thanks again for being with us. Let's just, you know, beyond what I've said in the introduction, how did we get to this point? And maybe we should talk a little bit, I can specify that some and say, you know, talk about how repairing farm equipment has changed over time.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, like many things in our world here in the last decade or so, things have become increasingly more computerized, and agriculture equipment is certainly falls in that category as well. That obviously brings challenges with it in terms of the repairs and being able to access the softwares and things that are needed to be able to repair that equipment. And that really gets to the heart of what we're seeing here. With those softwares and being able to have the access to all of the information that is needed to be able to make those repairs.
So, okay, let's talk about this lawsuit. What specific antitrust issues are at play with this?
Yeah, so the main one is they're talking about unfair steering practices is what the FTC is alleging. And essentially what that means is by John Deere having these farmers and producers have to go to their authorized dealers, they're able to boost their profits in ag equipment and parts, in the repair business in specific, and really just being able to drive up profits there by making those producers have to come to them instead of an independent repairman or perhaps the farmer themselves that might be able to do it more cost effectively.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, the machinery is getting more what would you say, sophisticated, right? I mean, a lot of these farm implements can kind of drive themselves to some extent. But it seems like it goes beyond just that, right? It's not just a question of complexity. There's almost like introduced complexity. I mean, is that part of the allegation here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's John Deere, you know, has made the argument in their proprietary information and that they feel they should kind of be able to protect this software. But yeah, exactly. On the other hand, what we're hearing from farmers and seeing in lots of the reporting on this issue is just that these things are becoming unnecessarily complex. And certainly could be and have been in the past easier to repair, but as these softwares get more and more difficult to navigate, that's becoming an issue.
So this is not just the Federal Trade Commission. I mentioned the attorneys general of several states, including Illinois, are involved in this. What are their allegations against Deere?
Yeah, so they're right on line with that FTC allegation. They're in that lawsuit, again, with the allegations of the monopolizing of the repair business. There's also a class action lawsuit going on outside of this FTC suit as well that stretches back, I believe, to 2022, so even a little bit before this FTC lawsuit was brought. This class action by farmers from a range of states across the U.S. as well, kind of alleging these same right to repair issues.
So maybe we can get more specific. Can you give some examples of like what goes wrong with some of this machinery and how, you know, farmers' ability to sort of independently repair this stuff is hindered?
Sure. Yeah, one that really stuck out to me recently that I saw in the reporting was a farmer was just having an issue with something as simple as air conditioning in his tractor. And that was something in the services. So John Deere, I guess I should start. John Deere has a service advisor tool, which is the tool that they give to their authorized dealer that has essentially all of the software information and everything needed to make the repairs. They then have the customer service advisor tool, which is the tool that's available to a broader range of people and those independent repair people. And that the farmers and repairmen say is a little bit of a lesser or inferior tool, if you will, that doesn't have all of the information. And so for things like that, like as simple as the air conditioning in a cab of a tractor, we're having issues fixing that without having to go into an authorized dealer for John Deere.
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking about agriculture equipment specifically today. John Deere is the subject of a complaint, a court case brought by the Federal Trade Commission in several states, including Illinois, about this idea of right to repair. It makes its equipment too difficult to repair for everyday people. It sort of makes farmers go through their authorized dealers, which can drive up costs, both in terms of diagnosing the problems and in actually getting the parts needed to effect repairs. We're talking about all this with Ryan Hanrahan, news editor at Farm Policy News. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. I should say this case was filed back in January, but one of the reasons we're talking about it now is that a federal judge sort of rejected a preliminary effort by John Deere to have the case dismissed. All right. I mentioned this agreement with the Illinois Farm Bureau, or I should say the American Farm Bureau Federation, of which the Illinois Farm Bureau is a part of that. Talk about what is in that agreement and how, you know, why the FTC might have gone through with the lawsuit, even though this agreement was there.
Absolutely. So the MOU with the American Farm Bureau Federation there is with John Deere, and then they also have a couple others with some other ag equipment manufacturers. I know CNH, Kubota, and a couple others are in there as well. The MOU is more or less says that John Deere and then these other ag equipment companies have promised farmers and independent repair shops access to all of the information and parts and everything that they would need to be able to make these repairs. So it sounds good in theory there. Farmers and lots of other ag experts, however, say that the MOU doesn't in practice do much because there's a lack of strong enforcement mechanisms or legal backing to make sure that these companies actually follow through with what they're saying. So that seems to be kind of the crux of why it seems the FTC still went ahead, is just kind of the lack of backing and enforcement that goes along with those MOUs.
Yeah, and just for listeners' sake, MOU is Memorandum of Understanding, fancy legal term for an agreement. What are there precedents in here in this sort of this realm of right to repair and what we're talking about today that might, sort of suggest how this could play out potentially?
Sure, there's not really, when we look at the ag equipment space in particular, there's not a whole lot of legal precedent there. But there is, in the broader kind of right to repair, I feel like it's probably good to mention that right to repair certainly goes outside of the ag equipment space. It touches automobiles, technology such as phones, laptops, really any sort of thing in that regard. And
Yes, anyone
so,
who's ever wanted to replace the battery in their iPhone runs right up against how difficult that is. Yes.
absolutely, absolutely. And so we've certainly seen some action in that regard, or in the right to repair space outside of ag equipment. The most recent ones that come to mind included the FTC. Recently had in the last couple years had some action against Harley-Davidson for this same thing, and resulted in like some changing of warranties that made it so things weren't void if people sought independent repair people, increased monitoring and things of that nature.
So, all right. What sort of effect could this lawsuit have on Deere, depending on how it turns out?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, certainly could be a big change if things land in the FTC's favor. Obviously, farmer advocates say it would be greater access for them to repair their equipment. But if you're looking at it from the lens of John Deere, it would almost certainly see a loss of profit in that repair sector of their business. Could probably see some loss in the parts business as well. Like you've mentioned, people having difficulty using third-party parts might be able to open up things there. So I think it could certainly be a loss on the profit side of things. Of course, I think it's important to mention as well, it certainly could land in John Deere's favor, and there might not be any big changes of any kind if it falls that way.
What about right to repair more broadly? I mean, is there a thought that this could sort of, I guess, within the ag sector or beyond? I mean, are people closely monitoring this case?
Absolutely. I would say that this is definitely kind of put this issue at the forefront. I think it's been something that in the last probably 5 to 10 years has kind of crept up, but I think this seems to be one of the more public cases of it. I know in the last couple of years, since 2023 or so, there has certainly been more legislative efforts, both at the federal and state level. Not many have gone anywhere at this point. I know Colorado is an example of one that recently passed that touches on ag equipment in specific. I believe that goes into effect in 2026, so still kind of unknown how that will play out in reality there. But certainly, I think this is bringing the issue to the forefront, and especially on the legislative side of things, seeing more things move through the state and federal level at this point.
What do you get a sense that this, like, I don't know, like when you think of automotive industry, right? But you hear this complaint with people like, my dad used to be able to fix the car in the garage, and now it's so many darn computers can't do that anymore. I mean, do you have any sense that this could spill over into other sectors like that as well?
Yeah, I certainly think so. Especially in the automotive industry, I think is probably the most similar here. As we look at that I think, like you said, cars are getting more and more computerized, and I think depending on what happens here, often with these FTC cases and things, as in some of the reporting, legal experts have said, these can spur companies to kind of make preemptive changes, if you will, to kind of get on the good side of any decisions that may happen. So I think if this does fall on the right to repair side, could certainly see some of that moving forward.
Okay, so let's take a break. We will continue this conversation when we return. Just a couple of quick, sort of more, broad farm ag sector questions I want to pick your brain on while we have you. We're speaking with Ryan Hanrahan, news editor at Farm Policy News. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455, especially if you have an interest in this right to repair space. Maybe you're a farmer. Maybe you're just somebody who owns a smartphone and you've wanted to, put a new battery in or expand the memory or something, and find that that is quite difficult the way many of these products are made today. Let us know about it. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show.
That yellow and green, watch them run smart, run fast, run lean, helping us live the American dream, never resting till the job is done. Plowing a field or hauling stone, no better machines in the world are known. On the farm, at work, at home, the very best ton for ton. John Deere made a better plow, John Deere.
All right, this is the 21st Show, not a paid advertisement, just a memory, I guess, of a simpler time when people had less complicated relationships with their farm implements. We are talking about right to repair and John Deere and the lawsuit that was filed by the FTC and several state attorneys general, including from here in Illinois, against Deere earlier this year about the idea that it is very difficult to diagnose and repair Deere equipment. Deere says they have, this is to people's benefit because it allows them to innovate and, make sure that repairs are done properly and, by authorized dealers. But farmers say, we should be able to repair our own stuff. Many of them are mechanically inclined. If only they could get access to the proper computer diagnosis equipment, parts, tools, that sort of thing. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455 on right to repair, specifically as it relates to farms or more broadly. We're talking with Ryan Hanrahan, who's the news editor at Farm Policy News. Ryan, let's just talk how are farmers doing in general these days? There's been a lot of different aspects of farming in the news, from tariffs to this right to repair we've been talking about. What is your sort of broad sense of how things are going right now?
Yeah, certainly, I think most folks you ask would probably say it's not the worst they've seen, but it's certainly not the best either. The ag industry has been in a bit of a downturn here for the last few months, maybe a bit longer than that. And people are kind of have been struggling a little bit financially, but after a few good years the previous years, so a little bit of a cushion there. And I think as we head into harvest season here over the next few months, things are definitely looking positive, at least in the crop and the yield sense of things here moving forward.
What do you well, actually, let's go to the phones. We have a caller on the line. Bill is calling from Springfield, on line one. Bill, thank you for calling in.
Sure. My question is, I wonder if Ryan would have any idea as to what percentage of Deere's overall profits derive from the issues that are being challenged in court?
The right to repair stuff. All right, that's a great question, Bill. Ryan, do you have a sense of how significant this is to Deere's bottom line?
You know, I can't say that I do have those numbers in front of me or I'm familiar with them, but certainly something that I will look into because that would be interesting to know what that hit could be.
Yeah, I certainly know. That's a good question, Bill. Thank you for bringing that forward. I certainly do know that. I mean, you know, you hear like auto dealers these days, right? And maybe that's a different industry. I don't know if it's comparable, but like many of them, you see, do make more of their money on the repair than the actual sale. I don't know, you know, if it's exactly the same way in Deere, but that is an interesting question. Let's you know, one of the other things we mentioned tariffs and things like that. What about immigration crackdown? Do you have a sense that is affecting farms and farmers here in Illinois in particular?
Yeah, I think it certainly is in a couple of different ways, I think. I think primarily what I've been hearing from folks and seeing in the reporting lately is just kind of the seemingly back and forth on the issue. It seems like one day they're kind of doing some immigration raids. The next day, President Trump is saying that they're going to be holding off. And so I think really in places like California and Texas, we're seeing more of the actual effects of those raids and maybe folks not showing up to work. But I think in Illinois and more in the Midwest, it's kind of some of that uncertainty around the message there and really just kind of what the answer is going to be and when people are going to know more concrete information about that. That's kind of difficult for folks right now.
All right. Well, let's wrap up maybe on this question of the, you know, the Deere lawsuit or what else you're sort of looking for as this year progresses in the realm of farm policy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as you know, right now, the Senate is working through some of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, I believe they're calling it right now. And that has some interesting provisions in there, everything from clean fuels tax credits to some expansions there of the farm safety net in crop insurance and things that will definitely be having some effects on folks here in Illinois. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that here today. And then as that kind of heads back to the House and they try to reconcile those, what goes on there?
Yeah. I mean, is there any optimism that we're actually going to have like a proper bipartisan farm? Well, I say proper just in like a sort of traditional, as you might say, or at least for recent decades, bipartisan farm bill? Or are people sort of coming to grips with the idea that those days may be over?
Yeah, I would say, unfortunately, it really seems to be that those days are past. And at least for the time being right now, it seems unlikely that we're going to have kind of the traditional, like you said, farm bill anytime soon. And certainly we'll be seeing those in this bill moving through now. But not seeing a whole lot of optimism from folks or hearing any for kind of that traditional coalition for the farm bill there moving forward.
All right. Ryan Hanrahan is news editor at Farm Policy News. Thanks for sharing your reporting with us on the 21st show.
Thanks very much.